Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us for the next hour, talking all things Tennessee Titans. PK presented by Sealmaster and Rapid Response Generators. PK, let's operate for the moment under the assumption that Love does go to the Titans tomorrow at number four. If you're Brian Daboll looking at your offense, you're looking at, obviously, a second-year quarterback, what you hope to be a pretty exciting offensive weapon coming in with Jeremiah Love. We'll see what they do to fill potentially some other holes on the offensive line right now. What's your plan, if you're Daboll, for how to use Jeremiah Love right from the jump? If you're trying to design kind of the best fit for this offense, best plan for this offense based on the personnel that you've got.
Well, I think he has to use him differently than he used Saquon Barkley in the pass game. I may be wrong on these numbers. Mike Herndon wrote about it, but and we talked about it on the pod. But he was getting like 20 yards of passing yards in a game under Brian Daboll, which is not a difference making, obviously. I think it's nice to have a running back who can catch the ball, and certainly you want to design things that free him up. And you could turn that into a real weapon. Obviously, we see it with Christian McCaffrey. But are you getting Christian McCaffrey? I don't think so. You know, you're not getting an offense that is designed for that. And so I think people go a little bit far where they say, well, he's such a good pass-catching back that it offsets you not getting a big-time receiver as a different kind of receiving yards. And, yeah, you can move the chains with it and occasionally break one. And you can have a far better screen game. But, you know, is it going to be a far better screen game if you still have DK out there blocking ineffectively? You know, Jeremiah Love can only do so much if there's somebody right in his face when he catches a running back screen. You know, I think they'll do certainly more with it. But first and foremost, you're going to be handing him the ball. He needs better blocking up front, so it ties into what they do at right guard and at center. The biggest difference to me from him to Pollard is when things are blocked up or when he makes something happen where he wiggles through the line of scrimmage, that he can turn what Pollard's only managing to have as a 18 or 20-yard run into a 40-yard run. Which they're lacking now. They just don't have it with who they have, and that's a significant difference in you know, doubling up your yardage on some of those, or actually having the potential to break away for a home run, touchdown run.
Yeah, no, he's a home run hitter. But so going back to what you said last segment, do you find it less likely today than you did a week ago, a month ago, that they actually take Jeremiah Love?
I think if Bailey and Reese are gone, they're choosing between Love and Styles, and I think they take Love. And I think they should take Love. Now, I'm not wild about the positional value and all of that, but I think it was
That's at least the case with both of those players.
I think it was Schrager, or it might have been the other former NFL Network guy who threw out a quote about a week or 10 days ago that said he talked to a GM who basically said, in this draft, throw positional value out the window. And I think the Titans are in a position where they may just be forced to do that. And if the edge isn't there, then the two best players are not positional value guys. And despite all of these positional value considerations that we've been talking about for weeks and months, the two best players available for them are not going to be high positional value guys, but they're excellent players. And so you get an excellent player at a lesser position. And to me, you get more value out of the running back than you get out of the guy who stops the running back. And so you pick Jeremiah Love. You hope that he lives on in the tradition of Earl Campbell and Eddie George and Chris Johnson and Derrick Henry, three of whom were drafted later, two of whom were drafted significantly later, and and you do your best you can with him. But I think it also has a big bearing on shaping the rest of the draft, and that in having used that pick on a position that's not a desperate need for you, you then are going to wind up probably not attacking either edge or wide receiver the way that you really wanted to.
I would love to know, like, if they take Love, going back to the usage part of it, like, if you're Daboll and you're Saleh looking at where you're at offensively, like, what's the ideal amount of times you're giving him the ball? Like, is it – and I'm talking both carries and in the receiving game. Like, are you wanting him to have 23 carries a game? Or are you wanting to sprinkle it a little bit more? Like, Bijan Robinson, like, I just did the quick math on Bijan Robinson last year. He had 287 carries in 17 games, which comes out to roughly 17 carries per game. But he also had – he caught 80 passes last year. So is it more like that that you're trying to split it?
I think it would be – you would hope it would be in the range of the 20s. But, you know, I also have this fear. And this is unfounded because I have no idea how these guys will handle it. But they got a lot of respect for Tony Pollard. They talk a lot about Tony Pollard. I could see them easing Love in. And I could see them still being determined to get Tony Pollard 8 or 10. And if you're getting Tony Pollard 8 or 10, you got to be winning some games. You got to have some leads.
Yeah, that's a goofy idea.
To get that out. I think it's a goofy idea too, but I could see them doing it. The best guy needs to get the ball the most and be the bell cow and not have a split backfield, at least until – they settle into something where they show you something. And Spears needs to be a non-factor. He needs to be a backup and a special team.
Yeah, well, to me, Pollard becomes a backup. Yeah, a guy you can give a series to here or there. Remember, you know, with Robinson, I mean, Tyler Allgeier actually is good. You know, that's part of that, right? Like, he's actually, like, good, man, which is, again,
and Robinson was hurt part for a while, whole... right, where Allgeier carried them.
Yeah, no.
Carried the backfield.
Yeah. So that's part of the thing, too, right, with like the Cardinals is like they have him, they have Connor coming back from injury. So to your point, so basically you, and I would agree, like if a Bailey or Reese is there, because Schrager, his mock has them bypassing Reese taking Stiles and Reese falling all the way to 5, which I have not seen anybody who had Reese outside the top 4 on a mock draft. But
I mean, you're doing a lot of projecting with Reese. You're doing a lot of projecting with Reese, and my initial thinking with Reese when we started was, you know, it'd be awfully tough to have both Reese and Oladejo both learning how to play that position simultaneously, where you're counting on two guys that you are not positive can be edge rushers. But I still think, like,
well, you better be positive.
His ceiling is an edge rusher. And at least if he doesn't pan out as an edge rusher, then you have an off-the-ball linebacker who's pretty good. Stiles doesn't have that upside of being the edge rusher. So I'd still go Reese there. But Bailey's the guy. Bailey's the guy. I'm amazed. I hate to open this Pandora's box. I'm amazed, like the guy whose show that you love to guest on and who, you know, is Russini Central.
The Stillbilly hasn't
done a week's worth of episodes on how the Titans losing an additional game would have put them in much better position for Bailey.
Yeah, they'd be sitting there. Well,
there's your content, Jared.
If the Cardinals would have held on to the friggin' ball over the goal line, they'd be in perfect spot to take David Bailey.
What would one more loss be?
They'd have the number one pick.
It would only take one more loss to be the number one pick?
Yeah.
Well, then they'd be trading out and –
yeah,
maybe
they'd be
not in position for any of those because they'd be going there.
But they'd be in good position.
I mean, the Raiders, the Jets, the Cardinals, the Titans, all 3-14. So you lose one game.
Yeah.
Also, quick aside, since this is our best chance to talk Mendoza, I don't expect that Mendoza is going to be heavily covered on Thursday night. We'll see. But in this buildup, the Mendoza stuff has been quieter, I dare say, than the Cam Ward stuff. So for all of you that were weeping last year, oh my God, they're not paying any attention to the Titans. I can't believe they just ignored Little Tennessee. The Raiders are a big brand, big international brand. You go to Paris, they're Raiders jackets. You go to London, they're Raiders jackets. You go to Amsterdam, they're Raiders jackets. There's nothing about Mendoza anywhere. So if you thought that was a Titan-specific thing, it's not. It's a boring, we already know who the number one pick is and there's nothing to talk. There's no entry.
Spend a lot of time in Amsterdam, do you?
I've been there. Yeah.
Will he? Will Mendoza get more or less coverage after he's announced as the number one pick than Cam Ward, who got approximately 8 seconds?
Well, that's the whole thing.
I think the same.
The entire perception was because of that trade, right? I mean, because that trade happened, I was like, oh, my God, Travis Hunter, here we go. And it was like, oh, then Cam Ward, oh, oops, Cam Ward just left.
But even leading up to the draft.
I think it'll be the same. I think they'll move right on to the intrigue because there's some intrigue with the second pick. Whether there's a trade or not, there's no intrigue with the first pick.
Yeah, but to answer your question, I still think the Raider, like Mendoza, will have more because there probably won't be some big thing right at that moment, right? It's just the next pick.
But in terms of the buildup, we've been talking about
when they go to the live shot of Fernando Mendoza, he's liable to be playing with like Legos or something while it's going on.
Because he's going to be home, right?
Yeah, he's going to be at home. Yeah. So, like, I mean, maybe Kirk Cousins is already there with it.
Playing chess.
Yeah, they're already forming that bond in the room.
Check in with Battleship. Cousins. Why don't you have him as a guest this week?
Think Cousins? Be good.
Yeah, your boy.
Yeah, it's a good time. I don't think my number for him works anymore.
Give it a shot.
Yeah.
Give it a try.
I have given it a shot that didn't work. Kirk, you didn't tell me your number changed.
Joseph Rexroad, you remember me?
I'm your favorite.
I was the guy fawning at you at the bar.
Fawning at you.
You're not going to find your cousins at the bar. Let's head back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Joe in Nashville to the program. Joe, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, fellas. Hope you're well. Two questions, PK. First, it seems like the talk around the league nationally is that people have come around to Jordan Tyson's medicals. Going into the process, he was my favorite. How do you think the Titans are on him? And then secondly, if there was a trade back, because this is considered to be a lesser draft, how far back do you think they would go to get a first rounder for next year? Thanks, boys.
Thank you, Joe.
I don't think they should go beyond like 10, 12, and I think that would bring an offensive lineman into play there.
Oh, boy.
What was the first, part of that?
Tyson,
I wouldn't go anywhere near Jordan Tyson. Big deal. He got healthy to run at the latest pro day in history of pro day.
He could be pretty good.
I mean, the guy three times has had injuries that ended or made him not the player he is at the end of the season. The best predictor of future injury is past injury. The guy's injury prone. I mean, there's no hesitation to label him as injury prone. What the Titans do not need is an injury prone wide receiver.
I would agree.
I'd be on hamstring alert the first moment his foot touched the grass over there.
A really important question to ask PK after the break.
We will do that. 615-737-1025. Paul Kuharski with us for the remainder of the show. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Taking your thoughts for Paul Kuharski on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Game Nashville Sports Network. Got coverage of the NFL draft tomorrow from T-Line Nashville, Friday from Chicago's home of Chicken and Waffles. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock tomorrow on 102.5 The Game, Friday on Sports Talk 830, presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Pozona MD, Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, Sealmaster, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air Home Generators. PK, Mike Borgonzi speaking last week. Did you take away anything from Borgonzi's conversation that made you think – one way or the other about how they could be leaning coming up tomorrow at number 4 overall? Or did he do what I think he's become a master at, which is saying some things without really saying anything at all?
Yeah, he's pretty good at, you know, there's a reporter thing where you walk out of the room feeling like, hey, that was pretty good. And then you roll through a transcript or your tape recording and you go, yeah, it's not much there.
it's a skill.
Yeah, it's a skill, and he's pretty good at it. I mean, you know, he's asked Jeremiah Love early, and he says, you know, really good things about Jeremiah Love, and he says, but there's some pass rushers there you really have to like. And so you think, well, it's Love or the pass rushers. Then he's asked about Sonny Styles later, and he raves about Sonny Styles, but then he says, hey, you know, but Robert Saleh's developed some really good inside linebackers, you know, from later in the draft. And so is he throwing Styles in that mix or not? He didn't offer him up in the initial batch. There's a lot of parsing to be done like that. And I don't think there was any big tell or giveaway. I think you know, they've done a good job keeping a lid on things in a situation where, you know, I don't think it would kill them if some preferences were out there.
And the lid's been removed now. Peter Schrager, he's out there saying that it's not going to be Jeremiah Love.
Yeah. I got a really interesting question for the Texans, but first, so let me pin you down on this, though. So if some of these scenarios come to be, which would be like Styles Love or Styles Reese, which is the Schrager thing, if they take Styles, your level of surprise, your level of disdain? Maybe none. Maybe you'll just celebrate either way.
No, I don't think. I just want to kiss their butts. Look, I'll have an initial reaction. With Styles, I'll be surprised and a little disappointed.
Disdainful?
Positional value-wise, let's say they did as poorly as they could have done. But, you know, that'll be my initial reaction. And then I go quickly and habitually in my system to, like, clean slate. All right, well, let's get them in here. And let's see what they do with him and, you know, what kind of impactful player he could be for them. Now, time and time again, we've been pretty disappointed with either the player overall or the pace of the player's development. I love Peter Skoronski, but he needed to do more sooner, right? Latham is in year three.
This needs to be the year.
And still not there. Last year needed to be the year, you know, for the number 7 pick overall. And so I would hope that Sonny Styles or whoever this is comes in and flashes early, and right away you can see this guy is different. This guy is going to be a foundational player for this team. He's good right now, and he looks like he's got the potential to be great. And that would be the case for any of the 4 guys that we're talking about.
So you'll be soft and won't give them an F as you should in your
poly no takes.
Great,
good old poly no takes.
You know, it might be good, it might be bad. You never know.
I can't believe
clean
that
slate.
You.
We got a clean slate.
I can't
That's
believe.
That's a sketch over here.
I can't believe that Joe Rexroad would endorse the idea of grading picks the moment after.
Immediate, I want instant grades.
It's like Mel Kiper over there.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Instant F from
what,
you.
What I'm going to do is grade next year's draft as soon as this year's draft is over. Those are my favorites.
By the way, order
the teams, give them a draft, and then grade them for what they do in my mock.
I like pre-grades. It's like pre-crime division. I like that. By the way, speaking of next year, I rarely disagree with your guy Mike Herndon, but he says that Arch Manning would be the QB1 in this draft, and I do not think he's accurate with that.
I did not see where he said that. I do not.
You don't monitor his tweets?
I read his tweets. I haven't seen that tweet.
You might need to check with him. Check on your boy.
Joe, my level of concern about preseason college football ranking of quarterbacks when I cover a team that won't be drafting a quarterback next year is pretty close to zero.
I'm just saying he's saying that he is a better prospect right now than Fernando Mendoza is. I don't think that's true.
Great.
Good. There's a take. Do you have any takes? Got takes. Does Paulie no takes have any takes?
Here's Herndon's phone number. You can DM
I've got his phone number.
You can DM him.
But you're
I've got takes, but I don't have takes on next year's quarterback class. I don't give a damn about next year's quarterback class.
How many NFL quarterbacks' phone numbers do you have? Kirk Cousins, is he on there? Brady?
Well, I have a Cousins number, but it doesn't teach you.
So that's not having Cousins' number.
what
that is not having Cousins' number.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Current quarterbacks?
Just in general.
Overall.
Yeah, overall.
I mean, I might have Hendon Hooker's number.
Welcome to Nashville.
Big feature coming on the 4th string quarterback of the Titans.
Levis Tannehill.
Pick him up from the airport?
Levis Tannehill, but Tannehill's not a QB anymore.
Josh Dobbs, maybe?
Mariota's a quarterback.
You have Mariota's number?
I thought I got his number.
You never
got his number?
Hell no.
Mariota.
Maybe if you had some takes.
Way.
Mariota, I'll talk to my girlfriend and my mom, and I'll get back to you as to whether that's something that's allowed or not.
Oh, man. I mean, you know.
Show me Marcus's number in your phone.
All right, let me see.
I mean, you guys talk about me kissing some ass. If he has Mariota's number,
that's serious smooch. That's you a might, guarantee.
You might be the only reporter.
Okay,
ever.
So here's the problem. Yeah, I don't have it. But
big talker over here.
But
big talker.
Another thing to keep in mind, though, is that in 2019 when I went to the Athletic, all my numbers got wiped. I lost a lot.
Why did they get wiped?
It wasn't supposed to happen, but that's what happened.
That's quite a system they have over there at the Athletic.
Well, it wasn't the Athletic. It was the Apple phone.
Between
that used to
wiping
be a
their reporters' phones of numbers and then coming out like, yeah, we're with Rossini, except that in a couple of days we're going to investigate her and then she's going to quit. So the system is flawless.
Shut up, dude. My phone was a Gannett phone.
You're not going to get fired from
so
me
you're gonna
saying
try to,
something.
You're going to try to blame the I'll next
blame Gannett,
company.
Then.
The next company. Like, how stupid are you?
Apple's got a flawless system for transferring one phone to another so that you don't lose anything. To lose your numbers in an Apple transfer is like the most technologically unsavvy thing possible. The matter of fact, the only two people I could think of that are capable of this are you and John Glenn.
I knew that was coming up.
I don't think I did anything wrong.
And by the way, did the U2 album stay in that transfer?
No. So that was good.
That's good.
I'm going to send you that this afternoon.
Yeah. 615-737-1025.
I still have this question I'm gonna ask.
We'll get to that coming up next.
Allegedly.
Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Look at Ian covering both bases.
Bringing it all together.
And U2 all together.
Tying it all together, baby.
Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Green Ventures Landscaping. Property managers, if you manage it, they maintain it. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. PK, Joe's been trying to ask you a question from the text line for 25 minutes.
Yeah, come on.
So let's get to it.
Get it together.
I'd like to thank Nate for the question. What's going to happen to PK if the Titans get good and the city's happy without any griping? Will he have to move to cover another bad team to get his complaining fill, or will he manufacture complaining like Stillbilly? This is a very good question.
That's such a ridiculous question.
I'm the one that points out that a mere 5 years ago, they were the number one seed in the AFC.
Oh, so you're a homer.
Yeah, I'm a homer.
Which is it? Pick a side, Paulie No Takes.
I existed 5 years ago when they were number one seed in the AFC. Was it 5 years or 6 years?
You were especially miserable, though. Yeah, it would have been 5 years from this fall.
Yeah.
21, the 21 team.
Yeah. So people who make it like these 5 years have been 50 years, which it hasn't been. I survived then. You know, it's good for business if there's some ebb and flow. So it would actually be good for me if they got good. I'd like for them to be substantially better. I've had enough of 3-13.
I thought you were really a jerk that year, though. I don't know why. Maybe it was other stuff. Cameron, I need to get into this now. Cameron's got my back. He says, I had to remove the comp portal / authentication app around the same time period while I was in law school, so he's smart, because I'd been a summer associate at a firm. And when I did, I lost half my contacts, some that had been on my phone for most of my life, no idea how or why it happened. I've had another phone transfer where, like, I swear some contacts that had been gone came back, and like really old ones. I mean, I've had some weird stuff.
Because he's a lawyer? There are a lot of shysters out there, Joe.
Well, you can be smart and be a shyster.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of shysters that aren't that smart.
Well, that's true.
I mean, there are a lot of bad lawyers.
I mean,
if you think all lawyers are geniuses,
you've got a worldview problem. Shut up. If you're in law school, then you're at least a college graduate, so there's some level of intelligence that you would presume.
I mean, I know a guy that went to law school in the Caribbean. Ooh,
hey,
genius.
There you go. Drop. Make that one a drop. What the hell are you talking about?
I went to law school in the Caribbean.
Ooh.
Taylor in Bellevue asking, Paul, do you think the Chiefs could be a team that may trade up for Love? Titans would get 9-29. Well, they just spent money on Kenneth Walker. So yeah,
they may trade up. I don't think they're trading up for Jeremiah Love unless they really want the double whammy in the back.
I have seen
I'm not too sure about him. We need to run the ball as much as possible.
Patrick, what do you think about being an option quarterback for the second half of your career? Yeah, but I saw someone mock him to them.
I did, too. It was a while ago.
Was that? Yeah.
Well, look, I would say this. If they stayed at 9 and he's still on the board at 9, I'd probably think about it if I was them, because it's like, well, I mean,
Yeah, except that I'd still like take a Bane then or something. You know what I mean? Like
they need a receiver. I would think if Tate's there.
Yeah. Or Mekhi Lemon. I mean, seriously, Mekhi Lemon with Patrick Mahomes?
Here's a stat for you, Joe. How many times do you think that Jeremiah Love carried the ball 20 times or more at Notre Dame?
Well, that's a good question, and my guess is going to be very low because Price got the ball a lot. There were some notable games last year, including against Miami, where it was like, guys, how are you not getting him the ball? So I'm gonna you're saying his entire career?
Yeah.
20-plus times?
Yeah.
I'm going to say twice.
Three.
It's pretty close.
All last year.
There you go. Yeah.
But I thought it would be more.
Well, and that, frankly, makes him a little more attractive because – unlike Derrick Henry, who carried the ball 47 times a game at Alabama.
Yeah.
And not that it matters to Derrick Henry because he's a robot, but.
On the one hand, you say it's attractive because he doesn't have wear and tear. On the other hand, you could say he hasn't shown, that he can do it. I don't doubt that he can do it, but it's a different thing in the NFL and, you know, that 24th carry. 22nd carry in the fourth quarter in the NFL is a different beast than what he's done so far against Syracuse.
Well, Titans fans around here are used to watching a running back that, as the game went on, got stronger. That's not a normal thing, right? Like that's not a normal occurrence in the NFL. So I don't know if Jeremiah Love, I don't know what that's going to look like at all. But if you're using him, if you're taking him at number four. Going back to like the conversation of how much you use him, I mean, I understand they got a second-year quarterback. Right now, the weapons would dictate that he's probably your best weapon, so you got to use him a lot. So can you handle the strain of that in your rookie year if you're Jeremiah Love?
Right, and then that gets into injury history to me because if there is a significant injury history, you're just more swings at the – right? Like just more possibility, but he's pretty sound, right? He's a pretty clean prospect.
Yes.
Societal commentary. Most college graduates, this texture says, most college graduates have zero common sense anymore. Well, that may be true. I mean, you say like most
especially
people do,
Michigan
but I still would prefer like education over non-education, right? Can we agree on that or no?
We can. Okay. I'm going against the, he's a law student, therefore he's smart.
Yes, I said he was a genius.
Cameron's
just saying, I'm not the only idiot who loses my contact
Cameron
in my phone.
Cameron said, Paul's out here calling me Saul Goodman.
Now, Saul Goodman was pretty smart, just not in the, lawyerly way that you would think of.
Saul Goodman. Great reference, Cameron.
Nice. Very good.
Very well done on that front. We were talking about this earlier in the show. There is the possibility that they could go Styles at number four and then go edge rusher at number 35. And all of a sudden, Dable's looking around like, what the heck, man? Like, are we going to do anything on the offensive side of the ball this year? It's going to be great. I'm not closing the door on that
and
possibility.
And I'm not real big.
Because there's some good edge rusher that I think will be there at number 35.
And maybe, there's a receiver that sneaks through out of the second batch into the third round, maybe. But I'm not real excited about adding a third or fourth round receiver to a group of receivers that,
Totally agree with you.
I don't want another guy who's like Io Manor and DK. I need a guy that's substantially better than Io Manor and DK. And you're getting that guy only by making a really big investment. If you don't make a really big investment, as wide receiver desperate as I feel for the franchise, don't do it.
You're top
wait,
shelf
wait
desperate.
Again. You're I need yeah, I'm desperate. Top shelf desperate. And I feel the same way about pass rusher. And Herndon does a really good job of pointing this out. If you read he's got back-to-back pieces up at my site about his ideal fits and favorites on offense and defense. And he says the same thing really about pass rushers. If you don't get these pass rushers with these amazing skill sets early, it's really hard to find those exception guys later. That's why I feel like they're probably, especially if they take Love, they're probably coming out of this without the big solution at receiver or end in this. And that's another place you think like, well, you want the tackle of the future. There are like 25 tackles, 27 tackles in the league that are first or second rounders, left tackles. So if you don't get them there, you know, this idea that you're going to find one in the fifth and develop him for a year and he's going to replace Dan Moore next year is pretty much a pipe dream.
Yeah.
If you're that guy's going to be your swing tackle, and that's fine if you find your swing tackle there, except that you're already spending a pick on a guard and a pick on a center. So you're spending three of your picks on offensive linemen?
Hard to see.
And then you need a linebacker, and you need, you know, on and on and on. So there's just too much to fulfill, and the odds are, you know, it's only your first three that are playing. You know, they need two defensive backs. They need two defensive backs and two offensive linemen. There's four of your picks already.
And as has been pointed out a lot, the fifth, sixth, seventh, those rounds now, they are devalued because there's kids who are just like, yeah, I'll make a mill at Clemson or whatever this year, yep, rather than
come out,
be a fourth, fifth round projection that I was. Do you think Daboll has?
The other thing, though, is a lot of these guys coming out, a much higher percentage are 23, 24, 25. You know, teams don't like that. They generally want younger guys, longer lifespans and all of that. But there is a sense that these guys, though some of them, their tape is good because they've been beating up on younger guys, are more fully developed. If you're drafting more fully developed guys, the expectation should be that they're more impactful right out of the gate.
Yeah, but then you don't have the ceiling you hope you have. Yep. Right? Do you think Daboll, does he have a stronger voice, you think, in this draft room this week than your typical OC?
Based on his hand in free agency, I would have to go in presuming yes. Now, I don't know what that means about what round he gets people, but in terms of his affection for the offensive people they're going to draft, I think it's going to be skyrocket high, yeah.
615-737-1025, our phone number. One more segment with PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Got tickets to give away to the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race coming up at the Nashville Super Speedway Friday, May the 29th. To call number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025.
Quick aside, if anybody knows who Mark LaFrance is, or did you find it?
No. Yeah, I'd like to know. I want you to read this sentence, though. This is an Adam Schefter sentence that he wrote about
the
Chris
Bold.
Brazel. Yeah.
Many teams say Tennessee's Chris Brazel has elite talents that rival Tyson. One general manager even compared him with George Pickens. But there are even more questions about his maturity. More questions about his maturity than Pickens?
That's what we're trying to figure out.
Well, I don't know. You tell me. This is Adam Schefter, a professional writer.
Is that Schefter writing it?
Yeah,
or is that
this is a reaction.
Zach Reagan writing it.
No, this is an A to Z reaction, but I found the sentence here. I wanted
you
to analyze
it. Well, I think that sentence is poorly written by Zach Reagan.
No,
Dude. It's not in quotes.
Jackass. This is a quote. This is all Schefter.
Yeah, that's a poorly written sentence.
This is Adam Schefter. We went nuts about this 2 days ago.
Questions about his maturity. Even more.
By the way, Mark LaFrance is the associate AD, digital media and marketing person at George Mason, apparently. So there you go.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Joe was showing off his Rolodex. And this is this. Okay.
Well,
we're playing the Rolodex game. I used to play this with Coach Mack, rest his soul.
Oh, God.
And
yeah.
he was tremendous at it. Joe sucks at it.
So the reason we were doing that is because I was looking for my Matt LaFleur number, which I definitely had when he was OC here, and I definitely don't have because that was in 2018 and my phone got wiped. Yeah.
Make sure I don't end up with
Matt
it.
I have Matt LaFleur's number.
Make sure I don't
share
end up
it.
With it.
It's time for you to share it on the program.
Sharing. Will you share
Mark
LaFrance's number?
I will share Mark LaFrance's number with anybody who wants it. Just let me know.
Can you?
Hey, just tweet it.
Hey, you can tell us. Did you pick in and hook her up from the airport a couple weeks ago?
I can't wait for Kaharski to interview Hendon Hooker.
Oh, I can't either.
You know, I think that.
I don't know that I go very deep on fourth round quarterbacks, and I can imagine in this media market, he'll be like the number one requested guy, and hopefully there's somebody else available, and I can go away from the crowd. That would be my ideal plan while everybody's, oh my God, Hendon Hooker.
That is.
I mean, that's going to be a ratings grab.
All right, Kuharski, I'm going to do something that you absolutely hate, but I'm prepared for it. Who's the pick tomorrow for the Titans?
Well, Bailey would be the pick if he's available. If Bailey's not available, I'm presuming Reese is gone. Then it's between Love and Styles. It should be Love.
So Love's your final answer.
Presuming the people who should be gone are gone,
okay.
I think they'll take Love, given two tough positional choices.
I can't wait for Carnell Tate to be drafted number four by the Titans. It's going to be awesome. Look how Schrager just threw him in at the end. He's like, yeah, you know, Carnell Tate. Keep an eye on him.
Make sure we throw in every possible Ohio State draftee that the Titans could take. If they took Carnell Tate, I mean.
Can't take Carnell Tate.
Yeah. It would seem like a reach. It would seem like a need reach. It would seem like Corey Davis 9 years ago, right?
It's a pretty
number
good
comparison. You can't draft a number two receiver with number four in the draft, no matter how difficult the draft is. But, I mean, broad sweeping statement that summarizes what we've been talking about forever. This is just not a great draft, and it's, you know, it's just not. You hope whoever they get comes in and is a difference maker for them, and they certainly should be able to get that. It's not. I like Carnell Tate, but you got to be able to run after the catch if you're the fourth pick in the draft.
I agree.
That does make sense. Now this actually brings me to, because Herndon had a good point. Like he thinks that next year is going to be. So he said Arch Manning would be QB1. Okay, I don't agree. I think he's QB2. Like Robbie said, he'd be after Mendoza. Jeremiah Smith, wide receiver one for sure.
Yeah,
he says Cam Coleman could be wide receiver one. He might be right about that too. Colin Simmons, edge one, I don't know. Leonard Moore, cornerback one, maybe. Jordan Seaton, OT1. Is he that good? Is Jordan Seaton that good?
He's pretty good.
Trevor Goosby would be OT1.
Opinionless Joe.
Pauly no takes.
Hey, yeah. Don't try to put your Pauly no takes this stuff on anybody else. I don't know some of these guys as well. Your guy is
You're a college football
Your guy is a film grinder.
He is?
I'm not grinding the film
you
on
should
Jordan,
be reading
Jordan
it at PaulKuharski.com. He's got tremendous stuff up right now, the best you're going to find in Nashville. And you
Glad
know what he's
you
know what he doesn't do? I mean, I'm going to take another shot here. This guy just watches stuff on his own and has opinions on his own, and he's a smart football guy. You know what he's not doing? Pretending to talk to people all over the league.
Yeah.
Not doing that.
There we go.
Not doing that. PK? Ask Mike Herndon if he's talked to anybody in any front office. You know what he'll tell you? An honest no.
PK, thank you for being with us.
Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your lock.
Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.